Yeah, well, I mean, you can't make the sound effect of water without it actually pouring out of you somewhere.
If only we could do that.
Yeah.
How
At
are
least in
you?
public. I'm good. How are you doing?
Peter Cushing in Rogue One, from the distance and mid shots, he's okay.
You know what would have been amazing in that film? I've only recently watched it, by the way. I didn't watch it when it came out. And I've only recently watched it, and he was more impressive than I thought he was going to be. I think the fault lied a lot in the fact that Peter Cushing's mouth doesn't move. He's not that animated with his mouth when he speaks. And I think they followed the actor who gave the portrayal, which is what they had to do, but they didn't try and dull down the performance. It's kind of like when you look at animators who are trying to draw cartoons or CGI, like complete like Toy Story CGI type characters. They look in mirrors and they overexpress their face so that they can get all the movements that they want, right? So I think two things about it. I thought they should have like dialed down how animated his mouth was in relation to everything else in his face, which stayed kind of stale. And I thought also the really brilliant thing would have been, rather than do any like actual close-up shots on him specifically, would have been to always show him in like some sort of reflection or on a computer screen. So like if he's standing staring at that window out the Star Destroyer or the Death Star, you know, have his face reflecting in there. It would have gone a long way to mask that this is a CGI person.
Or as a hologram.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally. I think they just about got away with that, but they didn't get away with it with Princess Leia.
No. Well, I mean, I was critical there, but I will say, obviously, that was a brilliant achievement recreating Peter Cushing like that. Like that was when looking at it, I could sit there and say, man, I wish these things were better. But I, you know, obviously I was also sitting there going, holy crap. You know, at the same time, because they did do a beautiful job with that. But no, you're right. Leia was a little too dead in the eyes, a little too soft in the face.
A little
I
too
don't know.
battlefront
For
me. But I'm in, before we move on, how come it took you so long to watch Rogue One, and did it take you a long time to watch Solo? Because I didn't go near Solo until about 3 or 4 months ago. But I watched Rogue One at the cinema.
We may have spoke about this before in the past, but I don't really like prequels. I don't like when movies go backward because every time you go backward, you have to still tell a grander story than anything that ever has come before it. Okay, like for instance, Star Trek, when they rebooted Star Trek, not rebooted, but when they created an alternate reality for Star Trek, they got away with it. Okay, because they created an alternate reality, so you can tell any kind of story you want, and it can be grander than the original series because you're not setting episodes during the original series. Whereas Star Trek Discovery, I have no interest in that show because they've set it 10 years prior to the original series, and anything that they're going to face is going to be grander than Kirk and Spock, and people are going to sit there and go, Kirk and Spock and his crew were freaking amazing. They're the best that we've ever had in the galaxy. But it's like, well, what about that other ship that just saved the universe like 15 times in one episode? You know, like I don't like going backwards because you always try and explain things that don't need to be explained, or you try and explain things that can never compare with what we've already got in our heads. You should always go forward. Star Trek Discovery should have taken place after the Next Generation, long after. Rogue One, I kind of warmed up to the idea because I thought, you know what? Yeah, it's a prequel, but it's not really going to delve too deeply into characters that we already know or have based our imaginations around. Maybe we've thought about how these plans had come to be. And of course, they're retroactively making that port have been a plan all along, kind of thing. And that's okay. I can kind of get behind some of that stuff. That's fine. Whatever. I don't quite understand what R2-D2 and C-3PO were doing on the base on Yavin during the point of the movie. That didn't make any sense to me when they were there, given the time frame of the movie. But it's neither here nor there. That was the only issue. But I finally, basically, I just. I was doing movie nights with a friend, and she had recommended, you know, we should do Rogue One. She kept telling me it was like it was good, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, I didn't enjoy The Last Jedi. She goes, no, don't base it on that.
Oh, no.
So I said, okay, fine, we'll watch it. And it was a lot better than I expected. I enjoyed the narrative. I enjoyed the story. There's a couple of things I could have lived without, but it was very good. Solo, on the opposite end of things, I will never watch. So that's not happening. It's not going to be a movie that I watch. It's just to go back, especially based on things that I already know of the movie. But to go back in time and tell stories of Han Solo prior to his adventures, I may have mentioned this before, but you've got Han Solo, whose journey through the original trilogy is going from scoundrel to hero. And then what are you going to do with the prequel trilogy? Make him go from scoundrel to hero, and then he deviates back to a scoundrel, and then goes scoundrel to hero, and then you get to The Force Awakens, where he deviated back to a scoundrel again. It's like, there's no character development there. You've killed the character is what you've done. But then the way that they gave him his name, the way that he came up with the nickname for Chewie, the way that he got his gun, everything in that movie just screams shit. And I don't want to be that rude guy, but... Seriously, everything I've heard, it's exactly what I feared when they said they were going to do a Solo prequel. And I thought, I'm sorry. His story starts with Star Wars. That's all we need to really know with him. If you want to tell Solo stories, get Harrison Ford to play him now. I'll watch that any day over somebody playing him when he's 20. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's worth it.
There's a lot of good Star Wars media out there. Do see for a grown up, I see an inordinate amount of Lego Star Wars, for instance. And there's two good series called Filmmaker Adventures. The Solo movie, at the core of the Solo movie, is quite a good idea. And I'm not talking about Han Solo. I'm talking about the stuff that he stumbles into and he's behind it and that.
I can see that.
Pardon?
I said I can see that.
Yeah. Well, it feels like it should be perhaps better served in a comic or a video game or in a cartoon. Mm. Than in a movie, unfortunately. Sure. That's all this other stuff piled on that no one was really asking for, were they? No one was saying, we need a Han Solo origin movie. No one was saying that. People might have been saying, we want a Boba Fett movie, or we want an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. People might have been saying those things. And, you know, in some ways, those things are being serviced in the coming years and months. But no one was saying we need a Han Solo origin movie,
mm-hmm.
apart from the scriptwriters, I think.
Yeah, well, and you know what? When you go back and you look at it, when the original Star Wars trilogy ended, it was just the era that you were in. You did three movies, you were done, people moved on. You didn't really do any more. Had it been a world of today, it would have been great if they had said, well, you know what? Han and Leia are together now. Let's go follow adventures of Han, Leia, and Chewie. Maybe Luke can be in there, too, but we can also do a Luke spinoff movie where he's got his own adventures. And it would have been great. It should have been what they did with The Force Awakens. Or rather, not that they actually did do, but what they should have done with The Force Awakens. And not to, like... down that the new trilogy, but I think just get away from trilogies. Just go, okay, let's, like The Mandalorian, for example. I know it's set in between Jedi and Force Awakens, and that's fine. It's unexplored territory, and you're not taking like established characters. Maybe they'll get to some, but you're not taking established characters. You're walking into uncharted territory. So what they should have done with The Force Awakens is walk away from all the classic Star Wars characters and just tell stories of new ones. It's that universe that has this richness to it that's untapped, that you can tell so many things. Doctor Who, when you want to tell new Doctor Who, you got to have the Doctor. You know, it just makes the most sense. You know, like you're going to go forward telling adventures of the Doctor because you can always keep that universe fresh by bringing in new companions, new aliens, new threats, and new adventures. But with Star Wars, if you keep bringing everything back to the Skywalker family, I mean, that's what killed the prequels. You know, that's exactly why I don't like prequels, is because going back in time and telling the stories that they told in those prequels that George Lucas wanted to tell, good idea. It could have worked, but everything that you tried to tell never would live up to what we had in our head for all those years. Mm. Especially like just one little thing, just this one tiny little thing for me. We've learned about the Clone Wars. So many years we had that in our heads. Ben Kenobi fought in the Clone Wars alongside Luke's father. And then we get the Clone War film. And the clones are fighting on the side of the good guys. It's not a moral dilemma that they're cloning people. They've cloned perfect soldiers and they're fighting with the good guys, and the bad guys are robots. How's that? That's not impressive. That's not cool. That's not threatening. The moral dilemma should have been that the Empire or the First Order, or whoever it is at the time, I don't even remember, should have been creating clones of people against their consent, making a perfect army of clones that could never die. Here's this perfect soldier. They were so difficult to defeat when there was just one of them. Now there's 2,000 of them,
yeah.
You know, against just us Jedi. You know, forget the robots, but all he wanted was for people to not actually die. He wanted to just kill some robots. That was okay. Kids can watch that. It's just a shame. And you know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg have this issue where they think, you know, geez, movies do influence children to be violent and so on. And you know, they created the PG-13 rating for Temple of Doom because their divorces made that movie so dark in their eyes. And it's like, I think you just overthink things sometimes. And I really think it would have been so much better to just progress forward than go backward, because you're never going to tell a better story than what's in our heads. Or you're never going to appease everybody, because everybody's got a different version of that story in their heads. And some people like the prequels. Most people don't, I think, is a fair thing to say. But I think the Star Wars universe would do better to do what they're doing with The Mandalorian and just move forward. And even Rogue One, quite frankly, to do things like that. Stories that, you know, are fresh and new and maybe have a link to the past, but aren't something that we've already been told about. And yeah. And therefore it can never be what we have in our heads.
Yeah. Before we stop talking about that, just I'll put it in the show notes. There's a great little comparison between the Battle of Britain movie. Is it Battle of Britain? No, Dam Busters, big problem. The Dam Busters movie and the attack on the Death Star from Star Wars. And how a lot of the shots and dialogue are similar between the two.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, on Twitter, so I'll put a link. It's a little movie clip switching between the various clips of the two movies. It's quite good. Worth a look. Okay. Brian, are you a fan of War of the Worlds?
I've seen like various versions of the story. I like what I've seen. I don't know if I've read the original book, I will be honest.
What about the musical
or the radio version? Drama, the musical version,
the musical version, the Richard Burton narrating and all that stuff, Forever Autumn, Phil Lynott. No,
what is this?
Well, this came out in about 1978 and it's a double LP, and it's basically the War of the Worlds story set mostly to music with like really striking sound effects. And then there's songs with David Essex and Phil Lynott and Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues did a well-known song called Forever Autumn. That one. No, you need to check this out, Brian.
Yeah.
One of the greatest albums. It's basically a concept album from the 1970s, and it's a musical version of War of the Worlds, and it's superb, and it's so striking. And if you were like I was, and I know Anthony Dry, we both know, he's a big fan of it as well, and I know he's seen it live a few years ago.
Really?
But if you were like 3 or 4, which you would have been when this came out, the sound effects would have given you nightmares, basically. They gave me nightmares. I still remember some of those nightmares. So, yeah, you should definitely check it out. And the reason I mention this is because the BBC's produced a new dramatization of War of the Worlds based, you know, again, it's the closest to the original novel by H.G. Wells. This one's been done by Peter Harness, who we know from Doctor Who. And it has, it was expected in the first half of the year on BBC TV. It's a mini series. It features Rafe Spall and Eleanor Tomlinson, but it didn't air, and it's been put back until the final quarter of the year, and it's due on TV in the next few weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that something has arrived in England.
A shooting star?
Do you think it could be from Mars?
Something can erupt from Mars and
end up in Surrey. Something inside. It's opening.
This is nothing to be concerned about.
They are coming! Ready? Fire!
God! Is this the wages of our sin?
No!
The War of the Worlds on BBC One.
Really got to track this down. I'll send you a link for it. Just, you've got to hear it. It's amazing. It's really so good.
Yeah, please do. I definitely had not heard of this before. I mean, I know the world has gone like mad for musicals lately, but I'm surprised I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, well, this is almost as old as we are. Sorry, like, it predates Mad for Musicals. There should be something gotcha. Called Mad for Musicals, because you are totally right. I blame Glee, but there you go. So obviously there's a new Star Wars movie out later this year, and as Brian mentions, there's new TV shows such as The Mandalorian. And Star Wars does feel, if we're to believe the press surrounding Episode 9 and what's going to happen beyond that, something that isn't going to be going away anytime soon. Whether you've seen Rogue One or Solo, or if you fancy any of the other spin-offs, or you're really cross about things, like Brian has noted some certain things to frustrate him slightly, let us know, and tell us if you prefer the CGI Princess Leia in Rogue One or the one on Battlefront. I know which one I prefer. We'll be back with another Beyond Casterbris podcast. Until next time, it's goodbye.
Bye.
Is there a time delay?
Yeah, total time delay there. Yeah, we'll chalk it up to that.
This is a Beyond Casterbris podcast. Available on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbris.com.